So praise God. Please turn with me to Psalm 37 again, and not sure if Mary has joined us yet, but just to say congratulations and to Pamela as well on a new baby boy. So we will be praying for him. We want some righteous young boys to grow up in the house of God in this city to glorify Christ's name. And we do want to fight. We want to prevail in prayer for the children. Just this morning with Candace, we are very much praying for the children that God would raise up from Andy's age all the way through to the youngest. God would raise up a godly seed in the midst. We want children that have a real experience with the living God. And that's a great burden upon all of us and as a church, that we would really see the reality of this. But here tonight, in our midweek Bible study, we're going to read from Psalm 37, and we're continuing our series on God's message in an evil hour. And I do believe Psalm 37 is God's message for the church in this hour. If ever we needed to take heed to it and to understand Psalm 37, it is this hour. Psalm 37, reading the first 10 or 11 verses again, and I'd love to read it all, but for time's sake, we're just going to read the first verse 11. Psalm 37, reading from verse 1. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him that prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil, for evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. Here tonight, as we come to our third message in this series, and this is my message tonight from verse 4. Delight thyself also in the Lord. Can we pray together and just look to delight ourselves, even at the beginning of this meeting, as we come to the Word of God? Oh, that we would delight in the Word of God tonight, that we would delight in the gathering of God's people, that we would delight in being able to pray unto God tonight, that we would delight in putting praise and thanksgiving unto our lives. Saints, it is not a drudgery tonight for me to be in a gathering of believers. It's not a drudgery to be preaching tonight. I've heard some preachers and they say, oh, it's a hard thing to preach. Oh, I struggle to condense what I want to say on a gathering like this. It's not a drudgery. It's not a hard thing to exhort you to delight in the Lord. It is a beautiful thing. It's a wonderful thing if I can help you in your walk with God. But can we join our hearts and just be glad in the Lord and rejoice in the Lord and give thanks to the Lord as we come to this Bible study tonight? Father, I do thank you, Lord God, that we can delight in you tonight. We're not delighting in a system. We're not delighting in an institution. We're not delighting in a charity. Nor, God, we're not delighting in an organization or even a religious institution. But we are delighting in the Lord our God. We delight in you even here tonight. We want to be joyful tonight. I pray that the Word of God would make every heart glad in this meeting. Satan, nor, God, those that don't know your salvation. I pray, make them so desirous to taste of this joy, of this peace, of this righteousness, of this holiness of the Lord. Make the righteous walk of the godly to be something sought after. Lord God, I do pray, will you minister unto us and give us freedom, give us liberty, open our ears, open our eyes, and Lord God, most of all, open our hearts to receive of your truth tonight. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. God bless you tonight in this Bible study. I do want to bring you this third message, part three, which I'm calling Delight Thyself Also in the Lord. In part one, we dealt with fret not thyself because of evildoers. This entire chapter, Psalm 37, is all about how the righteous are to conduct themselves in an evil hour. It's all about why is it that in certain times, when the righteous seem to suffer, that evildoers seem to prosper and even seem to be blessed at certain times. Well, we do have answers in this psalm. And in that first message, when we dealt with fret not because of evildoers, we said that we're not to get worried, filled with anxiety. We're not to get angry or filled with wrath. We must not envy evildoers. Do you know our English word fretting or to fret actually comes from a Latin word, fretton. And the word fretton, where we get our English word fretting from, is actually the word devour. That's what fretting literally means, is that you're being devoured. So when you begin to fret, all it reveals is the devil is coming in close on you and he's trying to devour you. It also means to eat away or to gnaw away upon our minds. So we see that fretting is a mental condition, a condition of the mind where we're so fretting or getting heated and angry that there is an attack, an actual dark demonic attack upon the mind where we begin to fret. I want to assure you, fretting is not good for your mind, your heart, or your spiritual walk. Then last week, we preached and taught on trust in the Lord. You're either going to fret or you're going to trust. Either you're going to get angry or you're going to have faith in God. But it's one or the other. But here tonight, I want to move on a little bit further. And my message is from verse 4, delight thyself also in the Lord. Can we read that tonight as we just come around this Bible study? Verse 4, delight thyself also in the Lord. And listen to this wonderful promise. And he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Saints, I want to assure you that this powerful promise, he shall give thee the desires of thine heart, hinges on the first part of this verse. Delight thyself also in the Lord. Psalm 37 is all about an evil hour where evil men are prospering. They're rising up. They're attacking the righteous. They're actually creating plans to destroy the righteous. They're actually gnashing upon the righteous. They attack them. They make false accusation. They try to institute legislation and governmental laws. They try to remove the law of God from society. They try to change the education system to make it hard for the righteous. All of this is going on. But do you know what God commands us? It's the third command in this psalm, and it's for such an hour as we live in. What does he command? Delight thyself also in the Lord. I'm going to give you four secrets. And they're open secrets. Anyone can read them. Anyone can learn them. And yet I still believe so many in the church do not know the hidden or secret things that God has revealed in the Word of God. They're so ignorant that they haven't learnt these secrets that God holds up for us. But here tonight in this message, delight thyself also in the Lord. I want to give you four important secrets that are contained in Psalm 37 in relation to delighting yourself in the Lord. They're very important secrets. And believe me, it's for this hour. You are to delight yourself in an hour where evil men prosper, where they attack you, where they falsely accuse you, where you're suffering and you don't understand it, where it seems your prayers are delayed. Do you know what you're to do? You're to delight yourself in the Lord. And believe me, if you trust in the Lord, if you stop all your fretting and put your faith, your trust in the Lord, even when you don't understand, do you know what where it's going to lead you? It will lead you to delight in the Lord. Do you know how I know you're trusting God? You're delighting in the Lord. So we're going to look at these things tonight. It's very important that you understand what it means to delight yourself in the Lord, because it's for this hour. And I want to exhort you and challenge you. You must delight yourself in the Lord. My first secret I want to deal with here from these verses tonight is my first secret. And it's an open secret. It's for all of you. And it's for your children after you. Number one, the secret to satisfaction. In an hour like this, everybody is seeking for the secret to satisfaction. What do I mean by satisfaction? I mean contentment. I mean happiness. I mean being fully satisfied in your heart. And this is the first secret that I believe is contained here. The secret to satisfaction. The secret to satisfaction, and especially the secret to satisfaction for the righteous. How can a righteous man or a righteous woman be satisfied when evil is exploding in this hour? How can the righteous be satisfied or happy or content or at rest? How can they be? How can they do that when they live in a generation or a society or a culture where actually evil men are planning, strategizing, and gaining the power? How can a righteous man discover the secret of satisfaction? Do you realize in an hour like we live in, satisfaction is not dependent on the circumstance of your life? All hell could let rip on your life, but you could be satisfied. I mean at rest in God. It doesn't depend on the health of your body. It does not depend on how much money you have. It doesn't depend upon the security of your job. It doesn't matter if you about your marriage partner. It doesn't matter whether you have friends or not. You see, true happiness and contentment, the secret of satisfaction, you've got to learn this. It doesn't depend on your outward circumstance. It doesn't even depend on the circumstance of your physical body. If you say here tonight, I'm not satisfied because I don't have enough money, or I don't have health, or I don't have friends, or I don't have a husband, or I don't have wife, then you don't understand the secret of satisfaction. You see, if you're looking at the outward, at circumstance, at feelings, at emotions, at what you have or what you do not have, and that you base your satisfaction and contentment, your happiness, if you base it on those things, you'll never know the secret. You really will not. I want to tell you that being satisfied or being happy and content is not the absence of stress. There are people, even in the church, and we go, if I didn't have the pressures, if I didn't have the stress, if I didn't have the enemies, if I didn't have the opposition, if I didn't have this certain set of trials, Brother Keith, you don't know what I'm going through. Oh, I know. I know. And you would like to tell me tonight, if you didn't have this trial, then you'd be truly satisfied. That isn't true, I want to show you. Because you know what? You think that satisfaction of heart, happiness of heart, contentment in your heart depends on some set of circumstance. Do you realize you have not yet learned the secret of satisfaction, and yet it's contained here in this verse? Let's read it again. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. This is the secret to satisfaction. What is the secret to satisfaction? Delight thyself in the Lord. That does not depend on circumstance. It does not depend on your personal situation. It doesn't depend on what you have or what you do not have. It is actually a clear instruction from God here that you are to delight yourself in the Lord. Over in the New Testament, in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 5, and it's the Apostle Paul preaching. Do you know what he says? He said in his generation, a type of preacher and teacher came into the church who actually began to teach that gain is godliness, or to have money, possessions, a nice house, all of these things is godliness. In other words, if God is blessing you physically and financially, it means you're a godly person. That's what they began to teach. They began to say, hey, look at my possessions. All of this shows I'm a godly spiritual person. Look what I have. Look at my church. Look at the outward. Look at the clothes of my body. I am a godly man. Do you know what Paul said? That is utterly ridiculous. He said, see that type of person, withdraw yourself, have nothing to do with them. And he goes on to say this, but godliness with contentment is great gain. It's not that gain is godliness, but godliness with contentment, being satisfied with all the things that you don't have. Oh yes, there's things you desire. Oh yes, there's things that you feel you need. But you know what? If you have godliness and you are content and say, this is the most important thing, you know what the Bible says? That is great gain. That is great gain. Now, what is delighting in the Lord? What does it mean to delight in the Lord? If this is the secret to satisfaction, not your outward circumstance, not whether you have an army of enemies, not whether you're being lied about or attacked or harassed, none of those things are what I'm talking about tonight. You can be surrounded by a raging war, and yet you can be satisfied. Do you know what the secret is? Delight in the Lord. You see, Psalm 37 is written for righteous men and women who are in a very dark and evil day. They are being attacked. Outwardly, things are not good, but inwardly, they certainly are. It's the Spirit of God here wanting to show us, if you delight in the Lord, as long as you're delighting in the Lord, it doesn't matter about the storm that rages around you. What does this word delight mean? And I want you to notice, it's a command. It's not an option. It's not a suggestion. It is a command. It is a charge from God through the elderly King David. It is a responsibility in an evil day that we're to carry. It is a condition of a wonderful promise. And in fact, to receive certain promises are certain promises are the result of delighting in the Lord. If you delight in the Lord, certain promises are fulfilled in your life. So we see that much rests upon delighting in the Lord. It is the secret. It is a key. It is a wonderful blessing. It will protect you in an evil hour. Let me give you, first of all, a simple, short, profound definition of delighting in the Lord. This is what it means, and then I'll explain it a bit further. The word delight means to enjoy yourself in God. What, Brother Keith? Enjoy God. Yes, enjoy God. See tonight, I'm telling you, first of all, fret not, then trust. But third of all, I want you to enjoy God. Do you think this is in the Bible? Yes, it is. And I want to prove it here tonight. Do you realize the teaching of the Bible is that God wants you to enjoy Him? Not only to know Him, but to enjoy Him and to enjoy Him forevermore. When God commands you, delight in the Lord. He is saying, I want you to enjoy me. Now let me go a bit further. I'm just letting you know what it means, but I want to go into this a little bit further so that you understand it thoroughly. If you look up this word delight, this is what Strong's Concordance says the word means. It means to be soft or pliable. Very strange. It means to be comfortable or to pamper either oneself or someone else. Now this sounds very strange, that God is commanding you to delight in Him, in the Lord. He is saying, I want you to be soft, pliable, comfortable. I want you literally to be pampered in enjoying me. I want you to be caught up in enjoying your relationship with me. Saints, this is one of the great secrets to satisfaction in an evil day, when you can't get satisfaction in politics. And you know what? An awful lot of people today, they're reaching out trying to get some sort of satisfaction in politics. You'll never do it. Others try to find it in their husband and wife. That's a big mistake. Others are trying to do it in education. Don't do that. Or they're trying to find satisfaction in their job. They think somehow if I work hard, if I enjoy this, gain further qualifications, I'll be satisfied. No, you will not. Do you know what the Bible says? And this is for all time, whether it's a good hour or a bad hour. Our delight, our joy is in the Lord. And the Lord actually wants us to be cared for in Him, to delight in Him, to live, and listen to this, to live in luxury. Now, it's not good if you live in luxury in your house, and I hope even if you have much luxury, I hope you discipline yourself. All that food that you have in your larder, you say, body, I'm denying you. I'm denying you. You could eat from morning to night, but I deny you. You're going to go the way of the cross. This word to delight means to live in luxury within the Lord or in your relationship with the Lord. What is luxury? Luxury is to live in a state of overwhelming comfort and at great expense. In other words, you spare no costs. Do you realize the Lord is saying, I want you to delight in me. I want you to find your luxury in me. I actually want you to find your joy in me. I want you to enjoy your relationship with me. I want you to delight in me. I want you to find satisfaction in me. I want you to find fulfillment in me. In fact, I want you to be so ruined in enjoying me that other things of this world can never quite be the same again. I want you to actually delight yourself in the things of the Lord. Listen to Webster's dictionary. And Webster was a man of God. And in fact, he built his original dictionary from scripture. Every definition of every English word was taken from the scripture. That's why I would advise you, go to Webster's dictionary and not to pagan atheistic dictionaries. Listen to what Webster's definition of delight is. This word, delight yourself in the Lord. Listen to what he says. Delight means to affect with great pleasure, to please highly, to give or afford high satisfaction or joy. Then he gives a few examples, such as a beautiful landscape delights the eye. So he's saying to delight yourself is like your eye enjoying what it sees. Or the harmony that delights the ear. All those nice sounds and music, and your ear enjoys it. Or your taste buds and eating something and it's got lovely flavors, you enjoy it. So just like the eye can enjoy things and the ear and the taste buds, then he also says this is what delighting actually means. Do you know what? We are to delight in the Lord. God wants you to delight, but especially in an hour like this. Saints, take your eyes. You're going to be so dissatisfied in this hour because you know what? Everything in life won't go your way. You won't understand everything. You'll say, why is it that this person suffers and the wicked go free? Delight yourself in the Lord. That's what you're to do. You're to take pleasure and enjoyment in God, to be satisfied in Him, content in Him, to enjoy Him. Listen, God is the source of your joy. Not a partner, not a friendship, not wealth, not house, not job, nothing, not your car, not your boat, none of these things, not your reputation, not your abilities, not your giftings, not your personality. Some people say, you don't understand, I can't be satisfied or I can't have joy. Why? Because of my personality. I wish I was different. That is a lie from the devil and you better destroy that. You know what? I don't care how lousy you think your personality is or your giftings or your charisma. I don't care. You know what? Delight in the Lord. Make Him your delight. Will you do that tonight, each one of you? Will you pledge yourself to say, I won't put my head in the pillow tonight until I delight in the Lord. You are the source of my joy. You're the source of my peace. You're the source of my satisfaction. Do you know all through the Bible, we're told, how do you do this practically? To delight in the Lord. That can sound mystical. How do you do this? Let me just give you a few quick points here. Delight to be in His presence. It says in Psalm 16:11, in thy presence is fullness of joy. And at thy right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. Where do you find pleasures? At His right hand. Where do you find fullness of joy? In the presence of God. Saints, listen to me. Delight in the presence of God. Say, I want to be in the presence of God. I want to get into the presence of God. I want to dwell at the right hand of glory. You know what? That is your pleasure. That is your joy. Don't allow anything else to become your joy and your pleasure. He is your joy. It is in His presence alone. Also, delight in His Word. How do you delight in the Word, in the Lord? Delight in His Word. I'm giving you practical ways to do this. Listen, Psalm 1, verse 1, talks about blessed is the man. Then verse 2, listen carefully, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. Where is his delight? In the law of the Lord. He delights in it. Do you know how you delight in the Lord? By delighting in His Word, in the Bible. You delight in it. And in His law, does He meditate day and night? You know, before you go to bed, think on the Scriptures. When you get up in the morning, get alone and read the Scriptures. Delight in the Word of God. Meditate on the Word of God. This is how you delight in God. I assure you, a lot of Christians would be a lot happier and have a lot more satisfaction if they just spent time in the Word. If they delighted in the Word of God, they would know how to delight in the Lord Himself. This is a means. What about delight to do His will? That's how you delight in the Lord. You delight to do His will. Psalm 40 verse 8. I delight to do thy will. O my God, yea, thy law is within my heart. To delight to do the will of God is to have the law of God in your heart, not just meditating upon it, not just reading it, not just thinking on it, but you hide the law of God in your heart. And you know what? You then delight to do the will of God. You go, oh, the word of God is in my heart. This is what I want to do. Therefore, you keep the will of God. You delight. You enjoy the will of God. Have you ever met someone in the church and you've told them, they're saying, I want to know what God would do in this situation. I want to know what God's will for me in this situation is. So you tell them very clearly. I've done this thousands of times. So I say, well, the Bible says this. Well, it's very clear. You should do this. And they draw back and go, I'm not so sure about that. That doesn't sound like a delight to me. I do not delight to do that. And they draw back. They say they're a Christian. They say they delight in God. They say they love God. But they do not delight in the will of God. But I assure you, when you hide God's word in your heart, you delight in the will of God. In fact, you enjoy the will of God. It's not a burden. It's not something you're trying to make yourself do. You actually enjoy doing the will of God. You enjoy the word of God. You enjoy God himself. How can you ever say you enjoy God when you don't enjoy his word, you don't take time to be in his presence, and you don't delight in doing his will? All that is humbug if we say we enjoy God. We enjoy him, but we don't enjoy these things. It also says, interestingly, in Nehemiah chapter 1 verse 11, the prayer of thy servants, notice their servants, the prayer of thy servants who desire to fear thy name. Do you know, I delight, I enjoy fearing God. I know that sounds strange, and you may never have heard that before, but I enjoy fearing God. You say that's a contradiction. Oh no, it's not. Oh no, it's not. I enjoy fearing God. Because you know what? The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of God keeps me from sin. The fear of God keeps me respecting God. The fear of God gives me a right perspective. So I delight in the fear of God. Even at those times where I've trembled in his presence, at his holiness, I have trembled. I love it. I love it. I enjoy the holiness of God. And this is something the Bible teaches, that holy people are not sad people. They are happy people. And we need to get that settled in our heart. The fear of God is very close to those who delight in the Lord and take pleasure in the Lord. Here's another one. Delight. They delight in the house of God. It says in Psalm 36 and verse 8, they shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house. When it talks about thy house, it's talking about the building or the gathering place of God's people. The righteous man shall be abundantly satisfied. Notice that word, satisfied. Satisfied with fatness in thy house. Do you want to be spiritually satisfied? Do you want to be spiritually fat? Do you want to spiritually have a bit of muscle and a bit of flesh upon your bones? I assure you, most churches, you go in there, physically, they might be eating too much, but spiritually, they're famished. They're famished. They're not satisfied spiritually. And it says, and thou shalt make them drink of the rivers of thy pleasures. Do you realize that we're to delight in the house of God? We're to enjoy the house of God. We're to be happy about going to the house of God. How do you delight in God? You delight in his house. If you don't enjoy God's house, how can you say you enjoy God? Oh, I stay at home and I can enjoy God. No, you can't. Not you scoundrel. And you know, I call Shiloh a scoundrel. I go, you little scoundrel, when she does something wrong. People who don't obey God's word, they are scoundrels. I want to assure you, we have a generation in Limerick and across our world that go, I don't need to go to the house of God. I don't need to be with other Christians. I don't need to give towards God's work, but I just enjoy God. That's a lie. That's a deception. You do not enjoy God because you do not enjoy his house. I could give you many scriptures. Listen, Isaiah 58 verse 13. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath or the Lord's Day, from doing thy pleasure. Listen carefully what it says. This is the Lord's Day. And he says, if, there's a condition here. If on the Lord's Day you turn away from doing your pleasure. So you get up Sunday morning, you go, well, actually, I'd like to lie in. I'd like to just lay about the house. I'd like to sleep until 12 o'clock. I'd like to go out and enjoy the sun all morning. I'd like to go off for a walk. It says, if you will turn from doing thy own pleasure on my holy day and call the Sabbath a delight. Have you ever done that? Called God's day a delight, a joy, a happiness. There's a condition here. If you call God's day a delight, the holy of the Lord, the honorable, and shalt honor him, the Lord. How do you honor the Lord? By delighting in his day. Not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord. You know, there's many people, they don't delight themselves in the Lord. They actually can't even obey the scripture. Do you know why? They can't obey the scripture, delight in the Lord, because they have no delight in God's house, no delight in God's day, no delight to gather with other Christians, no delight to be in the same place at the same time on a regular basis with the same people to do the same things. You know what? They hate it. They don't enjoy it. They've got no pleasure in it. They've got no desire for it. But listen, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth. You know what the Lord says? If you delight in me by delighting in my house, by delighting in my day, by turning away from the things you delight in, to delight in the things I delight in, I'm going to take you for the ride of your life. Do you want to go for the spiritual ride of your life? Then delight in the Lord. Delight in the house of God. Delight in his presence. Delight in all of these wonderful things. My second point here, the first was, the first point there was the secret of satisfaction. I hope you're understanding me here tonight in this meeting. I'm talking about an evil, wicked day when the wicked are prospering in every area of society. What does the Lord say? Delight yourself in the Lord. Second of all, our second secret here, and the next three points will be more brief. Second of all, the secret to answered prayer. Not only the secret to be satisfied, but the secret to answered prayer. Let's read verse 4 again. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. It's a condition. If you delight in the Lord. If you do that, if you enjoy the Lord, if you choose to delight yourself or make him your joy, your satisfaction, to make him your focus, if you do that, you're going to discover the secret of answered prayer. Delighting thyself in the Lord actually has an effect on God giving you the desires of thine heart. Can I ask you tonight, do you want God to give you the desires of thine heart? Do you want God to say, I'm giving you the desires of your heart? Those deep things in your heart, I'm going to give them. I'm going to give them. And I promise you, if God gives thee the things that are in your heart, you will have them. And not all the wicked men of the earth, and not all of the terrible circumstance of this generation will stop answered prayer. This word, desires of thine heart. Listen, desires of thine heart. It's not just talking about thoughts or feelings. The word desires means requests, the longings, or the prayers of your heart. It's those deep things in your heart towards God. It's not those deep things in your heart towards selfishness or thinking about your own self or thinking about your holiday next year, though God may bless you in all of those things. It says, he shall give thee the desires of thine heart, the deep requests, the things you're longing for, the things you're praying about, the things that burden you deeply. If you delight in the Lord is going to give you the answers to your prayer. He's going to give you the desires of the heart. What are you desiring tonight? What are the deep things in your heart you are longing for? You are busting for? I mean your heart. You can't go to bed tonight because of these things. You're desiring them. Can I tell you a quick way to get them fulfilled? Delight yourself in the Lord. Don't go and try to bring those things about. Don't make those things the focus. Don't even make prayers to answer your desires the focus. Delight yourself in the Lord. Make that the focus. This is the foundation of prayer. This is where you approach prayer. First, make sure before you pray, before you ask, why isn't God answering my prayer? Why isn't God giving me the desires of my heart? First, make him the delight of your heart. I mean rejoice in him. I mean get happy in him. Begin to praise him. Begin to enjoy him. Enjoy his house. Enjoy his word. Enjoy his presence. Enjoy his presence more than going to pray. Do you know you can go and pray? You can pray and yet not have enjoyed his presence. Not have really visited the man of his right hand. You may say, oh, but I prayed. But did you enjoy his presence? Did you abide there? Did you savor what it is like to be in the presence of God? Have you been encouraged in the presence of the Lord? Are you just shooting out prayer requests? Are you praying and yet not enjoying? You're just visiting, making your requests and going, but you're not abiding. You're not dwelling in that secret place of prayer. Since this is my second point, the secret to answered prayer. What is it? Delight thyself in the Lord. That is the secret to answered prayer. If you delight in the Lord, if you enjoy the presence of the Lord, if you make this your focus, you know what? He's going to give you the desires of thine heart. Listen to what it says in Psalm 145 verse 19. He will fulfill the desires of those who fear him. He will also hear their cry and will save them. Isn't that beautiful? He will fulfill the desire of those who fear him. In other words, if you just walk in certain things, he will fulfill. He will answer the deep prayers of your heart. Just make him your focus. Just make him all of your desire. Make sure he is number one on the list. Isn't it well that I said to Candace, before we married, you'll never be first in my life. You cannot be. You cannot be. And she said to me, you'll never be first in my life. And you know what? To embark on a marriage, you can then enjoy marriage or you can enjoy church life. Some people don't enjoy church life because they don't really enjoy God. They don't enjoy my preaching. They won't enjoy the prayer meeting. They don't enjoy the worship. They don't enjoy singing. You know why? Because you don't enjoy the Lord. Listen to me. There is a connection here between delighting in the Lord and having your desires fulfilled or your prayers answered. Over in the New Testament in John 15 and 7. Listen again. The teaching of Jesus Christ. If ye abide in me. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Ask anything. Whatever you ask, it will be done. Whatever you pray, I'm going to answer. Listen to me carefully for a second. Do not miss this. I've met people in the church. They don't do anything. They don't fear God. They're not reading the Bible. They're not in the Word of God. They don't delight in it. And yet, do you know what? They think they can pray and God will answer all their prayers. They pull out one promise and say, you said you will give me the answer to my prayers. You said if I ask, you will answer. So you've got to do it for me. And if God doesn't, they get angry at God and they blame God and they throw God out or say God failed me. What a tragedy. You know what? They've never kept the conditions. Do you realize God doesn't just say, whatsoever you desire, I'm going to give it to you? Do you realize this isn't God handing you a blank check and say, go ask for anything, whatsoever you desire, I'm going to give it to you? It has conditions on it. It has conditions on it. What does Jesus say? If you abide. If you abide in my words and my words abide in your heart. Do you know, if God's word abides, dwells in your heart, if you abide in Jesus Christ and his words of this book abide in your heart, then it's very safe for him to say, whatever you ask, I'm going to do it. Whatever you pray, I'm going to answer. He promises you. You know, if your heart is filled with the word of God, you'll never pray outside the will of God. That's what he means. In other words, you're coming saying, Lord, I love your word. I love your house. I love all of this atmosphere of the things of God. And God, I know what your word says. You know, George Mueller, that great man of faith and prayer, he was a man. You know, one of the books written about his life is called Delighting in God, or Delighted in God. What a title for that man of God. That man of prayer, that man of faith, that man who had thousands of remarkable prayers answered. Delighted in God. That was the name of his book. You know why? Because that was the secret. I've got a little booklet here about George Mueller, and he gives five conditions for answered prayer. And one of them is asking in accordance with the will of God. You know, George Mueller was a man who delighted in God. He wouldn't ask anything that wasn't to the glory of God. And he filled himself with the word of God. Every morning he spent quality time on his knees in the word of God to find the will of God, to find the mind of God, and to enjoy God. Why did he read his Bible? To enjoy God, to take pleasure in God. And out of that came a prayer life that touched our world. And we all read about those answered prayers. Why did God answer so many prayers of George Mueller? Do you know why? Because he delighted in the Lord. Again in 1 John 5:14, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. Saints, desiring from your heart, desiring according to the will of God, desiring according to the glory of God, desiring in the presence of God, and he will answer your prayer very quickly. He really will. He'll make you joyful in the house of prayer. When God's house of prayer becomes a delight to you, then God will delight in answering your prayers. There's a mutual fellowship in this house of prayer. Thirdly, the secret of attaining unto this delight. You may say, oh, I wish I delighted in the Lord, but I don't know how. It's okay to say, I'm commanded to delight in the Lord. It's okay to show me the scripture, but how do I? I don't feel anything. What am I saying here? You can't create delight or emotion or feeling, but there are ways you can cultivate it. If you do certain things, if you put yourself in certain positions, I assure you feelings of delight will surely come. Listen again here, this third point, the secret of attaining unto this delight. How do I bring this into my life? I do want to delight in the Lord. I do want to be happy in the Lord. I do want to find my joy in the Lord. How do I get there? Look in Psalm 37, down a bit to verse 11. Do you know in this psalm, it twice uses the word delight. In verse 4, then in verse 11. Read with me in verse 11. It says, but the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. Notice here that delight and shall delight themselves. Who shall delight themselves? Notice here, halfway through this verse, it talks about and shall delight themselves? Who shall delight themselves? Look at the beginning of verse 11. But the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves. Do you know what I believe? I believe that this verse 11 has shown us something of the pathway. You may hear tonight say, Brother Keith, I so love what you're saying. I so want this. I've even tasted this at times. But how do I make this a part of my Christian life? Oh, how do I make this a dominating feature? I believe verse 11 gives us a secret concerning the meek. The meek shall inherit the earth. You know, in this psalm, five times it talks about inheriting the earth. The righteous inheriting the earth. It is a promise. It is a promise given to the righteous who are living in an evil day. It is a promise he gives to those that are being faced outwardly with wicked men ruling the earth. Wicked men prospering in our generation. Wicked men who seem to be inheriting everything or taking over everything. The Lord five times says, concerning those who will inherit the earth. In verse 9, in verse 11, in verse 22, in verse 29, and lastly in verse 34, five times about inheriting the earth. But here in verse 11, he says, the meek shall inherit the earth. And notice the connection. Yes, they're given a promise, but they shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. This delighting, this life of delighting in things, spiritual things. You know what? It's the meek. It's given unto the meek. Meekness is not an emotion. It's an act of obedience unto God, I can assure you. What does meekness mean? And in this third point, I'm saying the secret of attaining unto this delight. If you want to move into this delighting, this lifestyle of delighting in the things of God, of enjoying the things of God. Saints, do you know what it is to enjoy the Lord? Do you know what it is to enjoy His Word? Do you know what it is to enjoy Sunday mornings or a Wednesday night Bible study? Not to be a grumpy Joe. Or a complaining Sarah, and thank goodness there's neither of those here in our meeting tonight. But I assure you, to delight in the Lord, you've got to be a meek person. If you're a meek person, you're going to discover, you're going to attain unto delighting in spiritual things. I believe a meek man or a meek woman is going to move right into these things. What does it mean here in verse 11 to be meek? And to then move on to delighting in spiritual things. The Hebrew word for meek means to bring the mind low, to bend your thoughts, to be mild in your emotions, or to be humble in heart attitude. That's what the meek person is. Do you know some people that say, oh, well, you don't understand. I can't enjoy God because... You know your problem. Your mind is too high. Your mind is exalted above the Word of God. Your thoughts, your opinion, your knowledge is way above the Word of God. Do you know what? You need to become a meek person. When you become meek, you bring your mind into subjection to the Word of God. In other words, you humble yourself. You begin to respect the Word of God. You begin to listen to God. Do you know the essential element of meekness? Do you know it means you're teachable, you're humble, you're obedient to the Word of God, even when you don't understand it, and you're very tender in the things of God. You're pliable. You're easily taught. You flow like a river. Listen, I've given you the Old Testament meaning of meekness. Do you know that this scripture in verse 11 is quoted by Jesus Christ in the Sermon on the Mount? In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 5, he said, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." Do you know, he was speaking to his people, to his church, and he was saying, the meek are going to inherit the earth. And I'll deal with this promise in another week. But listen, when Jesus used this word, blessed are the meek, happy are the meek. Who are the meek? They're happy. They're a delightful people. They're a people who are enjoying the things of God. Jesus said, blessed are the meek. And that Greek word, meek, listen to what it means. To be pliant. It means to melt and to flow like liquid. Or one who adjusts himself to the situation. So Jesus is saying that meek man is a happy man. He is enjoying spiritual things. He listens to me. He obeys me. He humbles himself under my word. And you know what? He learns the secret of delighting in the things of God. Let me go to my fourth and last point here. The secret to peace. Look at that verse again that we just read, verse 11. But the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. And shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. Do you realize here tonight that in an evil hour, when the wicked are prospering and they're not being thrown in prison and they're not being accused of iniquity and they're getting their way and they're making the righteous to suffer, do you realize that delighting yourself in the Lord is going to bring you into a place of abundance of peace? Don't you know that you can experience the peace of God in a storm? Don't you realize when evil men are lying against you, you can have peace flowing like a river within your soul? Do you realize if you learn to abide in this place of delighting in God and enjoying God, since you're allowed to enjoy God, you're allowed to enjoy the house of God, you're allowed to enjoy reading the Bible. Some people, they go to the Bible and say, I've got to read the Bible. That's a duty. That's drudgery. Be careful. You know what? It's a privilege that I can read the Bible. It's a privilege that I can read here what God says. It's not a duty to go to prayer. It's a privilege to go to prayer. I've found there's a blessing there. Do you know what? When you begin to learn the secret of delighting in the Lord, delighting in spiritual things, do you know where it leads you? Into a place of abundance of peace. This is the secret to peace. Do you want peace? Then delight yourself in the Lord. You say, oh, I long for peace. Then delight yourself in the presence of the Lord. Enjoy the Lord. Oh, I can't do that, but I need peace. You'll never enjoy the peace of God without enjoying God himself. Enjoy God. Oh, I feel guilty if I was to enjoy God. Enjoy God. You're allowed to enjoy God. You're commanded to enjoy God. You're commanded to actually have joy in the Lord and to enjoy spiritual things. Some people think holiness is sadness. Holiness is sobriety. And it is. It is. But you realize that the holiest people who have ever walked the earth are those who are the happiest people. It says there, they delight themselves in the abundance of peace. Those who walk and delight in the Lord, they enjoy the abundance of peace. In other words, God takes all of his peace and he puts it together and he pours it out upon them in abundance. It says in Psalm 72 verse 6, concerning the Lord, in his days shall the righteous flourish an abundance of peace so long as the moon endureth. Since there is an abundance of peace, peace can flow like a river. It's such a real thing. Peter in the New Testament writing, and I'm coming down to the end of my message here, and he speaking about the Lord Jesus, he says, whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, you trust in the Lord, you believe, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Saints, get into the presence of God, Him that your physical eye cannot see, and yet you can see Him by faith. Get into His presence. You can't touch Him physically, but you can touch Him by faith. Him that you love, get into His presence. And you know what? In that condition, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. This is a Christian experience. Some people have no joy, no blessing, no experience of fullness of glory. But it's for you. It's for you in this hour. This is God's will for your life. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. This week, or this past 2 weeks, I've been reading a wonderful testimony about Jonathan Edwards by Ian Murray. Just a powerful testimony, a man of God that lived through the 1720s and 30s, up through those years in America, in the 10 colonies, before America split off from Great Britain and became a nation in its own right. This man, Jonathan Edwards, was a great preacher. He used to read all his notes. They said you'd hardly see his eyes. He held up that paper and just read it. He was so blind. He had his candle. He had to hold the bit of paper in front of his face. And he's notorious, famous for that sermon, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. History books tell us in that church that as he stood there reading that sermon word for word in his monotone voice, you know what began to happen? The Spirit of God fell in that church. Revival came and men gripped pillars and they begin to grab the seats around them, and they actually had visions of hell. Hundreds in that congregation thought the earth was opening up. And as he read that prepared sermon, because the Spirit of God was there, and he was speaking about sinners in the hands of an angry God, and they thought they were falling into hell, and they began to cry out for repentance, cry out for salvation. Do you know, most people think that Jonathan Edwards was a very somber man, a very unemotional man, preaching about the anger and the wrath of God. Oh, they don't know him at all. Let me just read you a little bit shortly after his conversion, and I hope it'll bless you here. He was just a young believer preparing for ministry to preach. And this is from his diary in 1722, way before he ever experienced revival. And I believe Jonathan Edwards, as I was preparing this message and reading this testimony, I went, I've rarely heard a man who delighted in God as much and enjoyed God. Listen to this simple insert that he writes here in 1722. My sense of divine things seemed gradually to increase until I went to preach at New York, which was about a year and a half after they began. And while I was there, I felt them very sensibly in a much higher degree than I had done before. He's talking about these feelings, these emotions towards God. My longings after God and holiness were much increased. Pure and humble, holy and heavenly, Christianity appeared exceedingly amiable to me, or delightful. I felt a burning desire to be in everything a complete Christian and conformed to the blessed image of Christ, and that I might live in all things according to the pure, sweet, and blessed rules of the gospel. I had an eager thirsting after progress in these things, which put me upon pursuing and pressing after them. It was in my continual strife, day and night, and constant inquiry, how I should be more holy, and live more holily, and become a child of God, and a disciple of Christ perfectly. I now sought an increase of grace, and an increase of holiness, and a holy life, and much more earnestness than I had ever sought of grace before. I used to be continually examining myself and studying and contriving or planning for likely ways and means how I should live holy with far greater diligence and earnestness than ever I pursued anything in my entire life. The heaven I desired was a heaven of holiness, to be with God and to spend my eternity in divine love and holy communion with Christ. My mind was very much taken up with contemplations on heaven, on the enjoyments there, and living there in perfect holiness, humility, and love. And it used to be that at times to appear a great part of happiness of heaven, that there the saints could express their love to Christ without hindrance. It appeared to me a great clog and a burden in my soul that what I felt within me I could not express or what I desired in my heart. The inward order of my soul seemed to be hindered and pent up within my heart and could not freely flame out as it would. I used often to think how in heaven this principle should be freely and fully vented and express itself without hindrance. Heaven appeared exceedingly delightful as a world of love, and that all happiness consisted in living in pure, humble, heavenly, divine love. Holiness, as I then wrote down some of my contemplations on it, appeared to be to me, to be a sweet, pleasant, charming, serene, calm nature of a place, which brought an inexpressible purity, brightness, peacefulness, and it ravished my entire soul. In other words, that it made the soul like a field or a garden of God, with all manners of pleasant fruits, pleasant, delightful, undisturbed, enjoying a sweet calm and the gentle vivifying beams of the sun, the soul of a true Christian, as I then wrote in my meditations, appeared like such a little white flower as we see in the springtime each year, low and humble on the ground, opening its bosom to receive the pleasant beams of the Son of Glory, rejoicing, as it were, in a calm rapture, diffusing around a sweet fragrance from itself, standing peacefully and lovingly in the midst of other flowers round about it, that's you and me, all in like manner, opening their bosoms to drink in the light of the sun. There was no part of creature holiness that I had so great a sense of its loveliness as humility and brokenness of heart and poverty of spirit, and there was nothing that I so earnestly longed for. My heart panted after this to lie low before God, as in the dust, that I might be nothing and that God might be all, that I might become as a little child. That is a Christian, saints of God. I'm talking about a man delighting in God, enjoying God, all through this book of his life. I've only got a bit into it so far. I'm reading about a man enjoying God, who delighted to enjoy in God. And that fragrance affected a community and affected a church. Saints, as a preacher, may God help me to enjoy God more, that I might affect you through my preaching. If you're a husband, may God help you to enjoy God more, that you might affect your wife. If you're a wife, may God help you to enjoy God more, etc., etc. May God help you. Jonathan Edwards' sister, listen what is written about her. She only lived a short life. It says that she looked upon duties like prayer and reading the Bible, not as a prescribed task, but a coveted enjoyment. To her, no society or no social correspondence was so delightful as solitude with God. She read theology with the deepest interest. Her observance of the Sabbath or the Lord's Day was exemplary. and in the solemn and entire devotion of her mind and the duties of the sanctuary, she appeared habitually to feel with David, holiness becometh thy house forever. I'm telling you, there's a type of Christianity, church. As I close right now, I'm telling you, there's a type of Christianity that we miss out on. We think it's okay to be sad, to be down in the dumps. And I know all of us experience that. There is sorrow. There is heartbreaking things we go through. But God wants you to delight in Him. And that's more than an emotion. That's more than a feeling. And can I tell you, if we enjoyed our Christianity more, sinners would want to become Christians. This city of Limerick is committing suicide. It is a wicked place. People are dying because of drunks, drugs and suicide and a thousand other things. You know what they don't know? We can delight in the Lord. You can delight yourself. You can find a joy in the Lord Jesus Christ who died on a cross. Let's pray together here tonight. Father, I pray right now, will you teach my friends, will you teach this church, will you teach every one of us how to enjoy you, how to delight in you, how to allow ourselves to enjoy the things of God. Surely man's chief end is to know God and to enjoy Him forevermore. I believe that, O God. O God, how little we enjoy you, how little of this do we experience. Father, will you forgive us tonight that we've made it such a somber thing, these spiritual things. But Father, help us, release us tonight to show this world that there is a joy in knowing you. There is a blessing in knowing you. There is an experience of actually entering in and enjoying your presence, enjoying your word, enjoying prayer, and enjoying the house of God. Father, I pray we'd make every sinner jealous. Every family member that doesn't know you, that we would make them jealous, because there's a joy that no circumstance can steal from us. No sickness can take away from us. No tragedy can hinder. That there is a joy filled with the glory of God. A joy unspeakable. A joy at the right hand of the Father. We love you because you are our joy tonight. Amen. Amen. God bless you tonight. I do really pray that the Lord would help you enter into this experience. Saints, it is real. It is real. As I'm reading this testimony, I'm reading of a man who utterly delighted. I think of all the books on my shelf. I've never just quite heard a man delighting and enjoying in God. He's an old Puritan. An old Puritan. Sure, those old Puritans, if they smiled, their face would crack. Oh no, oh no, oh no. Those Puritans, they're a sad bunch. Oh no, oh no. Saints, we ought to be known for our holiness, but we ought to be known for our happiness. Not happiness of this world, but a happiness that no money can buy, no devil can steal. There's a satisfaction in Him. Don't you desire it tonight? I desire it. I'm not preaching down at you. I'm just trying to stir up my own soul to seek after this, because I want more of this, saints. When I'm reading about Christians in days of yore, past days, who just enjoyed God, enjoyed God. Didn't you like that about the little white flower? Just opening up and receiving of those sunbeams and giving it out to everyone. Do you realize the effect in this church if we as a church set ourselves to enjoy God? Delight ourselves. And please, if you have any thought in your thinking, any thought, any lie that says you shouldn't enjoy these things, you need to get rid of that. It's God's will for you to enjoy God. Praise God.